the August 18, 2021 meeting of the Lyman Planning Board. This meeting will come to order. This is a public proceeding. Unless the board specifically votes through an executive session, you have the right to hear everything that is being said and look at all exhibits that are offered. If the board votes through an executive session, the reason for saying shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you are having difficulty seeing or hearing. This meeting is being recorded. In each instance, the borough is part of the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works for a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in the following order. 7 p.m., Soggy Dollar. 7.05 p.m., Brian and Mary Ingalls. Discuss questions from Chuck McLaughlin. Discuss administrative procedures. Review and approve minutes, new business, and open issues. All right, you want to go down front again? Is there any more questions or comments from the board? Is that everything we've asked? You want to go through the 16 standards?
Yep.
Okay, number one, we'll meet the definition of the use of the zoning district requirements and any other requirements set forth in this ordinance.
That's in the commercial zone. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely going to meet that.
He's meeting all the setbacks and they move the house.
I'll make a motion that the applicant meets number one.
Second.
All in favor of the applicant meets number one?
Aye. Aye.
Two, will not have a significant detrimental effect on the use and peaceful enjoyment of abutting properties as a result of noise, vibrations, fumes, odor, dust, light, glare, traffic, or other cause.
There will be improving traffic flow. Lighting's going to be updated with ground fish lights. Just actually updating them, not even updating, replacing an existing building, which will be up to better code, so I don't see any problems with what he's done.
Well, we did have one neighbor that asked you to plant a few screening trees.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, do you want to just make that your new condition or something?
Yeah, well, yeah. I just wanted to bring it right up front with you. Yep. Does anybody on the board have anything to say about that?
No, good idea.
Okay. That's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, so any more discussion on two? Well, I'll make a motion that he meets requirements for number two.
With the condition
of planting some screening trees.
Second that.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Three, will not have a significant adverse effect on adjacent or nearby property values.
Well, there's been no evidence presented that would occur. You're going to be basically, this part of the application is to improve the store. We haven't received any information that would affect property values of adjacent properties. So I make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements.
Who makes that determination? You guys?
We do if we get any information. We haven't received anything that...
It would be up to the complainee to bring in proof that it's bringing down the property values.
Studies. Something comparable.
Mm-hmm. In this case, it's basically upgrading the store, which doesn't appear that it would affect adversely property values. Nobody's providing information on that. I make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements there of number two.
Second.
Number three. We got a second. Any more discussion? All in favor of meets the requirements of three?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Four, will not create a hazard to pedestrian or vehicle traffic or significant traffic congestion. Well, if anything, this is going to do the opposite. It's going to stop the congestion on Route 35. Being three cars deep, now get a lot more space for the light. And I don't believe the traffic will change. So I'm going to make a motion that he meets number four.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Any more discussion on four? All in favor, meets four?
Aye.
Five, will not result in fire danger.
Upgrading the store should not, if anything, it probably improve fire conditions. I mean, it'll be the current code, not old code. It ought to be better. I'm not sure there was a hazard there in the store in the first place. I'll make a motion that the applicant meets requirements of number five.
A second.
Any more discussion on five?
Was there anything in the application from our fire chief with respect to reviewing this? I don't believe it was. It may not be a necessity, but just curious. My memory doesn't.
Did we have documentation from the
So I think when we did the when we did the relocation of the entrances, I remember he was pretty jazzed about that because he said, "Yeah, now it won't be a lot better." And as far as the new store goes, I think if you're building to the new building codes, there'd be nothing in it that. Everything is going in the right direction as far as he's concerned.
I think we determined too that that the fuel issue was not our current. I mean, it's a state
fire the state
inspection that's required, so we don't have any jurisdiction over that.
Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, you have something from the local fire chief just acknowledging the construction.
I think that is like a building permit. After this, they have to go pull a building permit with all the building plans and stuff. And I think that's typically when the fire chief will review the building specific portions of that.
Okay. Sounds
better. Any more discussion on five? All in favor, he meets five.
Aye.
Six, will not result in flood hazards or flood damage, drainage problems, ground and surface water contamination, or soil erosion. And you had all your plans in here to take care of that?
Yep, you had a full stormwater plan and all that stuff.
So I'll make a motion that he meets number six.
Second.
Any more discussion on six? All in favor of the applicant meets number six?
Aye.
Seven, will not create a safety hazard because of inadequate access to the site or buildings for emergency vehicles. Well, if anything, it's improving.
Right. It's an improvement. Yeah, I make a motion that the applicant meets number seven.
Second.
Any more discussion on seven? All in favor of the applicant meets number seven?
Aye.
Eight, has proposed exterior lighting which will not create hazards to motorists traveling on adjacent public streets, is adequate for the safety of occupants and users of the site, will not damage the value or diminish the usability of adjacent properties.
Exterior lighting is addressed in the plan.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I think it was actually addressed in both plans, the previous one, too.
Yes, that's true.
Low ground facing LEDs, if I remember correctly.
Yep, full cutoffs.
So I'll make a motion that the applicant meets number eight.
Second.
Any more discussion on eight? All in favor of the applicant meets number eight?
Aye.
Nine, make provisions for buffers and on-site landscaping which provide adequate protection to neighboring properties from detrimental features of development. The applicant shall provide a plan prepared by a registered landscape architect or other qualified professional approved by the planning board. And again, you're going to plant some masking trees, and you had your landscape plan on the plan. So I'll make a motion to applicant meets number nine.
Second.
Any discussion on nine? All in favor of the applicant meets number nine?
Aye.
10. Makes provisions for vehicle parking, loading, unloading, as well as vehicular and pedestrian circulation on the site and onto adjacent public streets, which would neither create hazards to safety nor impose significant burdens on public facilities.
Well, this project is really for the store, which is going to be the same size, correct?
Yes.
So,
and he's increasing his parking area.
Right.
Improving ingress and egress.
And also, just interior circulation will be helped, because now there's 24 feet between parking spaces. People can actually back out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a So I make the motion that the applicant meets the requirements of number 10.
Second.
Any more discussion on 10? All in favor of the applicant meets number 10?
Aye.
Aye.
11, makes adequate provisions for the disposal of wastewater and solid waste for prevention of ground or surface water contamination. And he did have a septic plan in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make a motion the applicant meets number 11.
Second.
Any more discussion on 11? All in favor mm-hmm. meets 11?
Aye.
12, makes adequate provisions to control erosion and sedimentation. And again, he had all that in his plan.
It's on the plan.
I'll make a motion the applicant meets number 12.
I'll second. Any more discussion on number 12?
No.
All in favor of the applicant meets number 12?
Aye.
13, makes adequate provisions to handle stormwater runoff and other drainage on site. And again, that's all included in the plan.
It's on the plan. I make a motion that the applicant meets the conditions for number 13.
Second.
Any more discussion on 13? All in favor of the applicant meets that?
Aye.
14, provides for a water supply which meets the demands of proposed use and meets the need for fire protection purposes. Well,
there again.
Nothing's changing on the store as far as square footage goes, so I don't see where that's a problem.
Again, fire chief weighs in during the park time building permit process.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
And the pumps have to go with state regulations, so those are going to have their own.
Yeah, those. Correct. I think that fire suppression is actually not water; it's something
foam
else.
Or yeah. Cable
foam.
Yeah. Foam.
So that the applicant fulfills requirement 14.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion on 14? All in favor of the applicant meets number 14?
Aye.
15, makes adequate provisions for the transportation, storage, disposal of hazardous substances and materials as defined by state and federal law, the storage of chemicals, disposal of hazardous items as defined by the National Fire Protection Association Code 704, class 3 or 4 materials are not permitted. Just going to have one dumpster there, probably. It's going to be locked up.
Yes.
I thought it was all you. I just remember seeing for your dumpster.
Yep. And all the tanks are double walled underground. Yep. No,
and the no state's going to make you have their own system on it that they want.
Yep.
So I'll make a motion the applicant meets the requirements for number 15.
Second.
Any more discussion on 15? All in favor of the applicant meets the requirements?
Aye.
Aye.
16, will not have an adverse impact on significant scenic vistas or on significant wildlife habitat, which could be avoided by reasonable modification of the plan.
Have you seen any wildlife there when you're doing your cutting?
No. No. Not a whole. Maybe a few squirrels.
How about funky bow? No. Different question. I don't see any impact on scenic vistas or wildlife habitat by this project. I make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of number 16.
Second.
Any more discussion on 16? All in favor of the applicant meets the requirements of 16?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We just have that one condition then?
On just the one condition.
Finding what the screening tree.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyone want to make a motion?
I make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of the standards in the climate and zoning ordinance and that the project is acceptable.
And the only
with that
stipulation
one
is putting on the trees, screening trees.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of granting us?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
We'll get that written up and signed for you. And
great.
So Sarah, you're probably going to have to come in and sign this because I can't get back here.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
I can do that.
Well, I hope your assessment goes way up.
You're always so optimistic, dog.
Get some more tactics.
Hey,
everyone.
You know? Well, I think we can get our assessment first.
is a pretty straightforward project here. Okay, you want to go through the 16 standards for this one, too?
Sure. Yes,
set forth in this ordinance for this for the Ingalls project.
I move that the applicant fills requirement one.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor of the applicant fulfills number one?
Aye.
Aye.
Number two is will not have a significant detrimental effect on the use and peaceful enjoyment of abutting properties as a result of noise, vibrations, fumes, odor, dust, light, glare, traffic, or other cause. This project basically just divides the lot. So I don't see where there would be any particular issue with that. I make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of number two.
Second.
Any more discussion on two? All in favor of the applicant meets the requirement?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Number three, will not have a significant adverse effect on adjacent or nearby property values.
If anything, it's going to make it better.
Right.
I think so. It's in the field now, so I'll make the motion that the applicant meets number three.
I'll second your motion. Any discussion?
Aye.
All in favor of the applicant meets number three?
Aye.
Aye. Number four, will not create a hazard to pedestrian or vehicular traffic or significant traffic congestion. So this project basically just adds a house there.
There's not much traffic on that road.
No. No. Very little traffic.
Yeah,
not much through traffic either.
I'll make a motion the applicant meets number four.
A second.
Any discussion on four? All in favor of the applicant meets four?
Aye.
Aye.
Number five, will not result in fire danger. Again, adding a house, I don't see where there's any issue there, any additional issue adding one house is all we're doing here.
No evidence for that.
Sorry?
I said no evidence of danger.
No.
By adding a building.
I make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of number five.
Second.
All in favor of the applicant meets requirements of five?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Number six, will not result in flood hazards or flood damage, drainage problems, ground or surface water contamination, or soil erosion.
They're not going to be changing the structure of the ground. Just put one house in.
Put one house in.
So I'll make a motion they meet number six.
Second.
Any more discussion on six? All in favor they meet it?
Aye.
Number seven, will not create a safety hazard because of inadequate access to the site or buildings for emergency vehicles. I think we
discussed that. They didn't care, Alfred. Mm-hmm. And just like a driveway.
Yeah.
Same access as other buildings in the area.
So I'll make a motion they... The applicant meets number seven.
Yeah, I'll second that.
All in favor of the applicant meets number seven?
Aye.
Aye.
Number eight, as proposed, exterior lighting which will not create hazards to motorists traveling on adjacent public streets. Is adequate for the safety of occupants and users of the site and will not damage the value or diminish the usability of adjacent properties. Well, actually, you haven't proposed any exterior lighting yet. You will. You may have some when the house is built. But that'll be.
That'll be all. Be 3 feet.
It's pretty dark. The lights go out. Pretty dark.
And this really doesn't apply. Do you think to this project? Because there's no. We're not approving building. We're approving a land division. So
Right.
The lighting is not an issue.
I'll make a motion I guess I can make a motion that this number 8 does not apply to this. To this project.
Yes, I agree.
I'll second that. Was that a second?
Second, yeah.
All in favor that this is not applicable to this project?
Aye.
Number 9, makes provisions for buffers and on-site landscaping which provide adequate protection to neighboring properties from detrimental features of the development. The applicant shall provide a plan prepared by a registered landscape architect or other qualified professional approved by the planning board. You're basically splitting the lot. You did provide a plan for that.
She's her own neighbor.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we've shown the building.
Yes. Right.
Right. Right.
I'll make a motion the applicant meets number 9.
Second.
Any discussion on 9? All in favor of the applicant meets 9?
Aye.
Aye. Number 10, makes provisions for vehicular parking, loading, and unloading, as well as vehicular and pedestrian circulation on the site and onto adjacent public streets, which would neither create hazards to safety nor impose significant burdens on public facilities.
Right.
Yeah, I
right. That we're not adding any roads in the subdivision. It's the same access.
Yeah. I'll make a motion that this requirement is not applicable to this to the project here.
Second.
Any more discussion on 10? All in favor, it's not applicable?
Aye.
11. Makes adequate provisions for the disposal of wastewater and solid waste for the prevention of ground or surface water contamination.
And number 11 will be when they get the permit for the house.
Right.
And the proposed subject area is designated on the plan.
It is
designated. It is, yes.
Make a motion that the applicant meets number 11, requirements of number 11.
Second.
Any more discussion on 11? All in favor of the applicant meets it?
Aye. Number 12, makes adequate provisions to control erosion and sedimentation. That's really part of that. It would be part of the home construction process.
Well, we do actually have an erosion control detail on the bottom showing your standard erosion control measures.
Yep.
So, that's good.
I'll make the motion the applicant meets number 12.
Second.
Any more discussion on 12? All in favor of the applicant meets it?
Aye.
13. Makes adequate provisions to handle stormwater runoff and other drainage on the site.
I feel they need it. They're putting a house in.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a big commercial building or anything, it's a house.
That slightly elevated field contour back toward the wood line.
So I'll make a motion the applicant meets number 13.
Second.
Any discussion on 13? All in favor of the applicant meets 13?
Aye.
Number 14 provides for a water supply which meets the demands of the proposed use and meets the needs for fire protection purposes.
And with Alfred signing off on the hammerhead, I don't feel there's anything.
Yeah, there'll be
fire protection that they need.
This is just a question. This is an old subdivision that now we're just making a modification to it, and we have some new rules about fire protection.
If it's a new subdivision, I was incorrect before. I made a comment, I think, at a public meeting, but. The requirement is to have sprinkler circles.
Sprinkler, right. So are they going to be under the new rule?
That would be when they get their permit.
Right.
That would have to be.
That'd be code enforcement.
It'd be code enforcement, not us.
Yeah,
and as far as the hammerhead, as this will be reasonable foreseeable future, municipal goods and services will be provided by the town of Alfred. Because you're not going to get a fire truck down Old Alfred Road off Twombly Road.
Well, the Alfred Fire Department is probably 2 miles
from right. Yes, yeah. That's why my concern is if they have a concern with providing services down there, that Inwood doesn't.
Thank you.
Any more discussion on 14?
No.
Make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of number 14.
Second that. All in favor of the applicant meets the requirements of 14?
Aye.
Number 15, makes adequate provisions for the transportation, storage, and disposal of hazardous substances and materials as defined by state and federal law. Storage of chemicals, explosives, or other hazardous items as defined by the National Fire Protection Association Code 704, Class 3 or 4 materials are not permitted.
That's the end of the
Yeah, I don't...
Right.
I would agree.
Yeah, we're not approving the use, the building use. Right.
I move that requirement 15 is applicable to this project.
Second.
All in favor? 15 is not applicable?
Aye.
Aye.
Number 16 will not have an adverse impact on significant scenic visits. On significant scenic vistas or on significant wildlife habitat, which could be avoided by reasonable modification of the plan. Well, I don't know about the deer down there. There's a lot of deer, right?
Well, the deer habitat, we've actually shown it on the bottom here. And it's past
the ways.
Yeah. It's past the division of the proposal.
All right.
I'll make a motion that the applicant meets the requirements of number 16.
Second.
Any discussion on 16? All in favor of the applicant meets the requirements?
Aye.
Okay, is there anything else that needs to be discussed with us?
Make a motion that the since the applicant meets the requirement of 16 standards, or either meets or some are not applicable as stated, that the board approve this project.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor of the board should approve this?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We've got plans here for you to sign.
Okay.
You sign them. Irene will write up the notice of decision,
okay.
And we'll have that next week.
Okay, I can leave them with you, and we can come
back. Yeah, we can sign the plans tonight, because we're not having a meeting for another 2 weeks, okay. 2.5 weeks.
We'll sign.
But you're going to need the notice of decision.
Yeah.
You'll have to come back next Friday and pick it up.
Okay. How about I leave these, you sign them when
okay,
the meeting's
fine.
Over, and we'll come pick everything up on Friday.
Yep, that's fine.
That would
work. Good with that.
Thank you.
You live right there.
Good luck.
We'll sign them.
Thank you.
Thank you. You did a good
Thank
job.
You
have a great
Thank
night.
You. Thank you.
You too. All right,
I'll
work that way.
You keep pushing that deer herd towards the walker road.
Some other
benefits. Bill, good question. Chuck McLaughlin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, I'm Arnie Beveridge. I'm owner of 1520 Alfred Road with my partner, Dana. And we're looking to potentially lease a piece of property. And we're curious if it's going to be under the subdivision rules. We have two pieces of property that I don't know if you guys have the map and lot numbers from the question that Chuck proposed.
Yes.
So.
786.
Yeah. They're right on. If you know Hillview Mini Barns,
yep.
We sold that
yep.
piece recently.
Right. Yep.
So that brings up the question: are we talking subdivision, or what we'd like to do is lease a piece of property for a company called Canutics? They're looking for 6 to 7 acres. They don't need frontage on our back lot for business.
What kind of business?
It's going to be a laboratory and possibly a couple of greenhouses.
Gee, I wonder what the greenhouses are going to grow. I don't know if that's an applicable question.
Yep, vegetation.
Green things.
How is the Canubius spelled?
C-A-N-N-E-U-T-I-C-S.
But you're not asking, you're not applying for any of that this time. You're asking questions about splitting off the back lot, leasing the back lot.
Correct.
I get two separate tax bills
for
that property since I bought it. And originally when I bought it, there was that grandfathered right-of-way that was going to go through from 111 to 35 that divided the property. I guess that's since been abandoned. 4 or 5 years ago, so it's not. That's not still there. That's okay. But they're definitely two separate tax bills. I just happened to pick them both lots up when I bought the property, and then Arnie came back in as my partner back in December.
So where's the access to your project?
It's going to be off 111, right where Hildy Mini Barnes has access.
So do you have a right of way to that back lot?
We're
going to build it.
We're going to build it.
But that's not shown on the plan right now.
No.
If I may, I did a little research ahead of time. I pulled up tax cards, pulled up the prior survey,
awesome.
The survey online, and more importantly, I pulled up the deed. What we have is two legal lots of record. Contiguous lots of record, one of them being a back lot owned by the same party. I'm not seeing any specific deed as right of way to the back lot, but as they own both of them, he can, from what I have observed in the past, if he wants to put in an extended right of way that he added or allowed for the medical marijuana facility, you could just do a right of deed through that. To gain access to the back lot.
Okay.
That way there, if in the future you were to do something such as sell off that back lot, you already have a deeded right away to it.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands now, you own both lots, from my understanding, I'm an appraiser, a real estate appraiser.
Yeah.
I don't see that there's a problem with him leasing his land. All he's got to do is deed access to the back lot, and as long as it conforms with the zoning.
How many acres of the lots, can we?
The front lot, well, actually, the front lot has been split. It used to be 13.77. The rear lot, we're talking 11.71 acres.
Okay, so there's more than enough.
There's quite sufficient land to do whatever.
And the two separate lots. I mean, if there are already two separate lots, I don't see where it would be a subdivision.
Right.
Or are you dividing the piece in the back? Are you?
No, we're keeping them.
As they are, 11-acre lot.
Yes.
All you're looking to do is lease
the 11-acre lot out.
What we did for Hillview up front for, 4 or 5 years. We just leased out a section, and then they decided to buy it.
Yep.
And we have no intention of selling that back lot. We're going to maintain ownership. That's the plan now. I mean, things may change, but...
But the access to it goes, does it go through?
It will go right through the front.
It'll continue from the existing access.
Right, going to follow through.
Okay.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to have a deed for that, would we?
I mean, has to be on the deed, right?
Well, the thing is, the guy that's leasing the land would have to have something to protect him.
Well, right, but it'd be up to him, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's going to be his lease.
Not a lease.
Yeah, in the lease.
That would be part of the lease.
Yeah,
right. We're talking about a back lot which has no deeded right away. Right now, other than through the property, which you own.
Correct.
Right, which, by the ownership, allows you to go in and out as you please.
Yep.
Okay.
Make sense?
I don't see any subdivision.
No.
I don't either.
Okay, so what are we supposed to say here?
Yeah, subdivision would be three lots or more anyway,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, if he was dividing up the back lot, but... Seems how they're already two separate lots.
Right, not dividing anything.
Right.
You're changing.
Granting. All he's doing is granting use of the property.
It's the use.
Yeah. Land lease.
Right.
Correct.
To a tenant.
So do we need to make any kind of a motion or vote on this?
Well, I think we should make a motion and a vote.
Yeah, okay. Let's make, somebody make an intelligent vote. I mean, okay.
Do we need to research this more, though? Do we need to research this more?
But the only thing that we are approving is that the owners can,
subdivision.
It's not a subdivision, they can lease the property. As to what goes on to the property, well,
correct.
That comes back to the
That comes back here, right.
Okay. We just, application.
Before but we spend a lot of money, we just wanted
I will say this, if it comes back to the board for a project going out there, you're going to have a right-of-way written into that, whatever your lease is.
Yeah. Before we come back.
Before we come back.
Showing on the map and everything.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise
right, then
it's landlocked.
Yes,
landlocked.
And that's why it was sold to us in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, right. Gotcha, because you can't really sell a landlocked property without access.
Correct. Okay.
If you're going with the greenhouse, maybe one big greenhouse.
That's, you breathe code very close. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, can you expand on that?
No, just the previous experience that we've had.
You were allowed one building?
One building.
And two accessory buildings.
Per how many acres is it? Or
per lot.
Per lot.
Per lot. Yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah, one principal. Did you get that? Was it one principal structure?
I didn't quite hear.
So, one
principal structure, two accessory structures.
One building, two outbuildings.
That's
two accessory structures,
two accessory
structures.
Right. Yeah. An accessory structure is a greenhouse.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, so.
Or a garage.
Correct.
Or a shed.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to try to put in four or five greenhouses there.
Right. Correct.
Again, you could put in a big one or two.
Yes. All right.
I'm assuming that's
you guys are looking
purpose.
At me with daggers. I'm not looking at you. I'm just leasing my property.
No. We're just trying to avoid
to
oh, I kind of gathered issues. Something.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is all that right. Is that a general purpose zone? I'm assuming
it's.
It's not commercial.
Well, I believe
it went, commercial residential.
It was, yeah, commercial residential.
Commercial residential for what, 600 feet out there, or is it 1,500?
I thought it was 1,500 on the other side. So you might even fall under the. Would that fall under the residential? I mean, commercial zone?
You're pretty close.
Okay. Yeah. If you fall in the commercial zone, then you have more.
It goes 1,500 feet off of 111.
According to the tax card, zoning is commercial.
Good.
Cool.
Okay. Then you have more. You don't have as many. I mean, you can cover more land, and I don't think there's a limit on buildings.
Gotcha.
That's my fault.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, just look at the ordinance.
Yep.
Awesome.
So, was there a motion or
make a motion?
I can't make a motion.
I don't know. What do we need to vote on, though?
That acknowledging that
it's not a subdivision.
And okay.
It's subject to the property owners being able to lease it. So move.
Sounds good. A second.
Any more discussion?
We don't want to have Joe repeat that.
No.
All in favor of Joe's motion?
Aye.
Aye. Great.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. Good luck with your
project.
Thank you.
2 minutes worth of research.
Thank you for doing it.
It's what I do.
All right.
Yeah, I guess there's something. Like deeds and surveys.
There's stuff going.
Here's a couple of, here's a draft.
Did everybody get this copy of the notice of public hearing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Tomorrow?
Yep.
Here's four.
Okay. Okay. By a chance, there's one there for Irene Peter for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've been struggling with trying to review these administrative procedures So I went back, sort of went back to the drawing board, and just instead of trying, I was going to do a table or something, I couldn't make, it didn't make sense to me. Okay, so what I've done so far is, which has not anywhere near being completed, is I just started with listing all the references that we are supposed to be going by. And there's more than, I mean, not all of them are we required to go by at all, but I'm just saying that there are more references than I realized. And starting with the main statutes and then the Lyman ordinances and the subdivision standards and also the commercial design standards, which I have a draft copy of. I think, I'm pretty sure that that passed.
I don't think it did.
Did it or didn't it?
I think it did not.
Commercial design
The commercial standards. Design standards.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought it did not, but I'm not sure.
I agree with Irene. They didn't like something about because we wanted to change every 50 feet. And...
Okay, well, I'm going to have to...
Get the ball game.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Okay, well, let me...
Do you remember though?
I'll
remember?
Check with...
I thought that did.
You thought it passed?
I thought it did.
Okay, well, I'll check with Polly. I haven't done that. I can check with her, and I'm sure she can tell me because it was a it was an ordinance. It was on the warrant, I believe.
Yeah, maybe it did pass.
Anyway, okay. So
it was our dock changes to our ordinance on docks did not pass. Great.
Yep.
Okay. Well, anyway, that was one I wasn't sure about. Comprehensive plan. Doesn't I mean we're supposed to follow it, but it doesn't affect us that much. But that's a reference. We don't have it now. Mission statement, bylaws. One thing I would say about the bylaws. Right now, the bylaws do not specify anything about posting notices or of hearings or meetings in the bylaws. In the Charter Commission bylaws and in. At least that one. It's listed. That information is listed. It's not listed in our bylaws, but I'm not saying so. It could be a place to put stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the other two things that I came up with was this humongous planning board manual, which and there's a chapter 2 on decision making process. This is online, and it has a lot of information in there, but it's not binding. In other words, it's more reference material. Okay, I don't mean overkill this thing, but...
No.
And then I did pick up a... from the MMA website, there's an executive session motion citation. So basically it says how you go into executive session. Not a big deal, but it says you go in per such and such. It gives you the reference. Okay. Anyway, so there we are. Then I started saying, okay, well, how do we amend these various references? Well, the ones that we have direct control over. There's a process in each one, and they're not exactly, I didn't spell it out, but they're not exactly the same. Except for the, let's see, what did I say? What do I call LSDS? Oh, okay. Yeah, the subdivision standards, there is no amendment process that I found in those, which is probably ought to add one. And then the commercial design standards, which I only have a draft copy of, and I'll have to check on. I didn't look at that in any detail. Okay, next part, pretty simple opening remarks. I got a copy of the one we did for public meetings. I'll probably get Rod's copy and make a copy of it for public hearings. That's standard. Okay, now getting into the meat of it a little bit. Notice a public meetings and public hearings. Planning board meetings, that's where I wanted to comment. We don't specify any posting requirements. All we say is we're going to have regular meetings. And that's probably a deficiency. Public hearings, then we got some problems here because we have an issue. I don't think we're following this correctly. Right now, the zoning ordinance, the reference specifies the requirements. It just says we got to hold within 45 days of determination that application is complete. We've been doing that with no issues. And then it says we're supposed to notify the CEO, select board, and zoning board of appeals at least 20 days in advance of the public hearing. We haven't been,
I don't think we've been followed for 20 days.
No.
And also, I don't think we've been informing the Zoning Board of Appeals.
No.
No.
But this is in, as I read it, and I give you the reference, this is in there, so we should be doing that. And the same, list the other ones. And then this, it gets down to where I always say in the zoning ordinances that we publish notice in a newspaper of general circulation at least 10 days in advance. And I'm not sure if we've been doing that or not. I think we have.
We used to put it in the journal, but now we don't have a newspaper anymore.
We don't publish in any, and that's something that I've mentioned several times.
It went in the Portland paper this time.
Oh, the Portland paper? That's not a local publication.
It says a newspaper of general circulation.
I think the charter says local publication.
I haven't checked that.
And where would the charter supersede, would whatever stated in the charter supersede anything that we define in at the committee level?
I don't think so, except it would be, we could be more, I don't think we could be less restrictive. Well, I don't know. Generally, you can't, we could be more restrictive, we couldn't be less restrictive. In other words, if the charter says you have to do this in 12 days or something, we could do it, say, in 2 weeks, but we couldn't do it in 1 week. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we could be more restrictive, but we couldn't be less restrictive.
Normal. Right.
That's what they're normal.
Right.
Anyhow, so that's an issue. Where are we going to, if we're going to publish it in Portland Press Herald, is the only one that you want to call the reporter.
I would think the reporter. All of our neighboring towns, Dayton, Alfred, they all publish in that paper, in the reporter. That's the only paper of any kind of publication.
The problem is it doesn't get general circulation.
But it doesn't go by mail, but it's a most available. It's available at the post office. It's available at town hall. It's available where else?
Anyway, that's, I don't want to decide it now. I'm just trying to clarify the requirements.
Green issues.
And then the other thing, we say in the zoning ordinance that we must publish notice in town hall and on town website. So we don't specify going to other places, whereas for example, the Charter Commission in the bylaws specifies publishing it at like 6 different places in town, including the library, the general store. It's Salon, I guess it's Salon and Varieties. It's not Sonny's anymore. It's got a new name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's like 6 places, that transfer station. We don't require that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we should, but I'm just saying that there's a difference.
That may be something that the Charter Commission needs to look and get back into the 21st century versus the 19th century.
Well, yeah, whether it should be.
Maybe we need a town crier running up and down the street, hear ye.
Well, it's whether it should be in the charter is another question. That's a thought. I mean, I'm not saying it's a law. I'm just saying it's not in there now that I know of. Okay, then just other ones I looked at. See, and there's another thing that's a little crazy. The zoning ordinance under contract zones has specific requirements for publishing for contract zones. And some of this, I don't think it comes from state law, but it's more restrictive in the sense that it's got to be posted in town hall and library 14 days prior, twice in a newspaper of general circulation, and also state law, which is more restrictive, is less restrictive, requires 13 days prior. And our thing says 14 days, so we're okay there. Then on the back page, that's what I said here. Okay. Lyman Zoning Ordinance Amendment Public Hearing, and that's a sort of another little separate thing. We require, in our ordinance, we require a public hearing at least 10 days prior to consideration of the amendment, and then it refers to the state statute section 4352 for public notice. So then what that requires, that being state law, notice is posted in town hall and a library 13 days prior. Got that right. Anyway, hopefully this is correct. And then it's got to be posted twice in a newspaper of general circulation. First is 12 days, secondly 7 days. So it's got all different numbers. And then this is probably the big thing in state law, if we are proposing an amendment to an existing zoning ordinance that has the effect of either prohibiting all industrial, commercial, retail uses where any of these uses, where any of these uses is currently permitted, or permitting them when they are not, where they're currently prohibited, then it has a bunch of additional requirements. So that would be a case of maybe, let's say if we were, well, let's say medical marijuana, which is currently permitted, if we were going to prohibit that since it's currently permitted, then we'd have to go and review the additional requirements. Mm-hmm. And there's some in the state law. So this is where I am right now. That's why I am having a little trouble trying to, I mean, I'm going to keep working on this, but I wanted to point out the one thing we probably ought to change the timing on the public hearings to 20 days, because that's in the zoning ordinance. And we ought to notify, and maybe Irene can help with that, we ought to notify the Zoning Board of Appeals, like it says. And I don't know if we notify the CEO. I guess we notify the CEO and the Select Board. But we're supposed to notify them in advance of a public hearing.
This is only for zoning ordinance changes.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. That's under public hearing, planning board public hearing.
I think it's any
for all public hearing.
I think all of them.
That's what it says. That's the way I read it. But I mean, this is the
right.
I'm not trying to cause issues. What I'm saying is that when I started looking at this and started writing it down, it was my recommendation generally should be. I think what we should do is set on a. You know, if we can, within the parameters that we've been working, just set a time. I mean, you know, like, it shouldn't be 13 days, it should be 14 days, you know, it should be the same.
Right. I would suggest that everything that's consistency, we change to 13 days. That way there, it allows Wednesday, 2 weeks, it's only 13 days. So if we make a decision today that we want to have a public hearing, 14 days would be actually on the Thursday. Yeah.
Okay, but whatever we do, we should try. I would suggest that we try to make it as consistent as possible. But that we are a 20-day problem right now.
Yep.
Which means we shouldn't. We should go. It's going to be four. It'll basically be 4 weeks.
Yep. That's pretty much that way too far.
Yeah. But unless prohibited by the charter or anything else, I think we should try to get consistency.
I mean, you have to change the ordinance. Is my point.
Yep.
Or
so be it.
Whatever. But anyhow, this is what I've gotten so far. And,
great.
I don't know any better. Maybe there's a better way to present this. But what I'll do is I'll certainly check with Polly about the status of this design standards. And then keep working on this thing. But I think we should make that change under 20 days. And the other thing is, I think we can change. I had talked to her about my reading of the zoning ordinance was that we can only change it at the annual town meeting. And she pointed out that we have, in fact, changed it previously at town meetings, but they weren't necessarily the annual town meeting. I mean, I'm against the annual town meeting only because nobody shows up.
Right.
I mean, when that merely means to vote before the annual town meeting. Mm-hmm. We don't get any votes. You get 100 votes, 200 votes sometimes. I think we ought to do it on, you know, the ones we're going to get more votes on.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
But right now, the way I read it annual, and she said, no, you can blah, blah, blah. But that might.
It does say annual.
Yeah, it does say annual. So I'm thinking we ought to either change that wording or, have the voters change it, but make sure that we're covered there in case somebody decides to dispute that.
Yeah. Which you never know. If we made a change in our bylaws, basically stating that any and or all special meetings and we could list off potentially whatever it may entail, shall be have a requirement posting notice no shorter than 13 days. And that would cover all the rest of it because it's in our bylaws. So we wouldn't have to go with the shoreland zone, subdivision.
The bylaws don't override the ordinance.
No, they don't. No, the bylaws are just because we're the only ones who approve them. Yeah, the bylaws, if it's in the ordinance, we got to change the ordinance.
bylaws are kind of a mode of operation.
Right, and it just, I'm not saying we necessarily have to have it, I'm just saying that the Charter Commission, the, and it happened, we did it 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and we carried it over this time. It has more specific posting issues in there. We discussed that at the Charter Commission.
Right.
Just to where
I,
we were
I think it's key to get these straightened out, though. The 20-day notice is a big thing.
That is a big notice, and that's going to, but we should follow, I think we should follow what it says in the ordinance, and unless and until we can recommend
change.
A change and get it voted on.
Yep.
Right.
So what's going to happen now is we're going to say, you know, soggy dollars, thing is complete. Then it's going to be two more meetings before they come
in, right.
Right?
Yes.
It's going to slow things up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know why it's in here. I mean, when I say that, I don't remember when it, if it was changed to this or if it was always this, or maybe we didn't have as many.
The whole time I've been on this board, that has never been followed.
Yeah.
Well, I think possibly... the issue with that, too, is that all the abutters, the, you know, notifications have to go to the abutters. And it has to be published in a some circulatory, you know, some circulation media. So, and you need time to do that. And if that 14, 13 days includes a holiday, then, you know, I guess you might want to come make sure that we cover ourselves by allowing enough time for all of that.
Yeah.
Because they could come in and say, well, I didn't get my letter.
But if anything, they all should be consistent with each
other. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
If anything, that should be.
It should be consistent, yeah.
So I would what I would suggest is, and again, I'm not going to solve anything tonight, but take a look at this, look at the references, make sure I didn't screw it up
when either.
And read them, and then.
Are you on the Charter Commission? Or not Charter Commission?
I'm on the Charter.
No, I'm talking.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's the story on that. I mean, I don't.
No, it's good, Don.
Yeah, it's, but thank it's you hard for doing to that,
John. Too many
different things going on there.
Yeah, and I don't know why the state law has some things. I mean, I can see why the state law doesn't appear to be exactly consistent either. You know, and I think if we could get on one set of dates and stuff. And stick with that, we'd be better off. And then either change the ordinance if necessary or have everything fall in line so that we're not questioning. Yep. And really, I think this is on the planning board because the code enforcement isn't really responsible for what the planning board does. In other words, we've used the code enforcement officer as a resource, but we haven't. Maybe I, especially myself, I've gotten a little lazy there depending on the code enforcement officer, and that is not the right way to do business for the long term.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, let's see.
We'll see what we find.
Yeah. Can I mention just one other thing? I saw when I was passing out these flyers for the Charter Commission Saturday morning, sweating, I saw Dave DeLong, and I said, Dave, how come you haven't shown up here to review your application? He said, I told Irene. And I guess Irene has said that. But it turns out that Dave, he said the reason he says he's not avoiding speaking to us, he said he did not expect this to be handled so quickly. He said, I figured it would take a month or so before anybody would want to talk to me. And I said, well, we'd like to review it with you. He said, my wife bought tickets to the Algonquin Playhouse for whatever one of them. He said, but I will definitely be there, he said, at the next meeting. So my comment would be, if he shows up at this next meeting, I think we should review his application. If he doesn't, I think we should just table it and say, tell the selectmen we have tabled it because the person hasn't shown up. It's been like four meetings now.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, it's not that he didn't show up, though. I mean, he has...
He hasn't responded to our request for his appearance.
Right.
I mean,
and we don't have any other applicants?
I don't know of any.
I thought we had a second one.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen
anything. I haven't seen anything,
in regard to the one we're discussing, this is, I believe, the fourth time he's postponed.
Yeah, he
gave one excuse.
Well, he said he would be at the next meeting. That's all. I don't want to discuss it any further. I just wanted to provide that information to the public.
And I was going to bring it up, and I was going to say that we should table it. That's just my opinion.
Well, I would suggest give him one. If he comes to the next meeting, fine. If he doesn't, I think then we should. I suggest we just discuss it and vote on it whether we want to table it or not,
mm-hmm.
and leave it at that.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not expressing an opinion one way or the other right now. So I just want to provide the information.
Okay.
Anyway, so I said, hey, we're on.
So I know if you don't show up for a job interview four times.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't bother showing up.
Yeah. Or if you get 38 applicants for a part-time job. Oh, no, I repeat myself.
Well, that would be great if we did that.
We did.
38 applicants?
For that job.
Wow.
Well.
That must have been a long time ago.
No, that's like right now. We have 38 applicants.
I hope you have some good quality.
Reviewed the references yet.
For the planning board clerk?
Yeah.
So.
Wow. / assistant for the senior.
Do we want to make a motion to put... invite Dave to the next meeting?
Not the planning board.
I'll make a motion that we invite Mr. DeLong to the next meeting to discuss his application for the planning board.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anyhow, that's my 2 cents, 3 cents, half a dollar.
So wanted to ask again, you just said, the applications that you had were for the assistant to the CEO, not a clerk for the planning board.
It encompasses clerk.
The person's going to do
it. It's a 25-hour position.
Okay.
It's a part-time job, and the only thing I would comment on is that we got the same deal with the front office administrative assistant. We had like, not 20, 38, we had 20, 28 or 29. And my suspicion is that some people are just applying because they are on either unemployment or something, and they have to show they are trying to get a job. I don't know.
I would just be blown
away, because before we get maybe 6 applications.
Right.
But not 28 or 39.
They've all heard about your wisdom, though. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We had a guy in the choice of the clerk.
So, well, I don't know. All the hiring committee does is... there's 5 people on it. It's supposed to be 6. There's 5 people on it. We screen the applications for whether we think the person is acceptable, and we try to give a prioritization. Or we just say they're all acceptable, any one of these persons would be fine. But we usually only recommend 3 or 4. And currently, 2 of the recent hires were taken from that. You know, we seem to be working out okay. One was a select board clerk who's moved over to the assessor, assistant assessor, and then the front office lady has moved to be selectman's clerk.
Okay.
So, Donna.
Don Richards, yeah.
So, I mean, they seem to be working out okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm not here every day, but.
I do recall that we did interview applicants in the past.
So, do we have minutes, Irene?
Yeah. Well,
everybody
has their black pants.
Oh. I do.
I think it's black. Yeah.
Did everybody get to read the August 4th, 2021 meeting minutes?
Yes.
Everybody happy with them?
Yes.
Well, I'll make a motion to accept them as written then.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Well, may I borrow your pen for a second? That's a good move, Joe. But if something goes south on the sidewalk, well, then it's an issue.
Okay, well, that's going to come up in the public hearing. That will come up. We can set the time for the public hearing. Say have that applicant arrive at the subsequent meeting after the sidewalk. If there's something that went south, you address it at that point. Then
postpone it. I mean, because you might have to get something fixed.
Yeah.
I mean, say you go there and like pile up 5,000 tires.
All I'm suggesting is at the time that we set this year, the date for the sidewalk also set a, at least a preliminary date for the public hearing, which would hopefully be like in that 20-day time period, and notify the CEO, the CBA, and the selectmen accordingly.
And the applicant has 20 days to fix the issue if we find something. I think we have a sidewalk. We find an issue. The applicant, we've already set the 20-day public hearing, so the applicant has that time between the sidewalk and the public hearing.
But you might not have, you might have a meeting to tell them to fix something, but you might not know what's fixed when that public hearing comes out.
Right, but the that's okay if the commitment is to fix it. I mean, that can be that public hearing is not the final decision is made after the public hearing, and it does not have to be at that same meeting.
It is, but the final decision is made on what's presented at the public hearing.
Does that be the same thing?
Well, not necessarily, because the public can bring up issues that we may not have considered.
Yeah, we can condition it anyway.
I mean, the public hearing could bring up. It's issues that would change.
If you would go with the 20 days, which is required, you're really talking two meetings, 4 weeks, right? Joe's saying that we could have we could set the public hearing for 4 weeks from now. We probably ought to do the sidewalk between now and the next meeting. So before the next meeting, we should do the sidewalk and then. We can discuss anything at that meeting, but meanwhile, we've already set the public hearing date. And then if there's a problem at the middle meeting, we can push the public hearing off.
Right.
We'd have to republish it.
We have to republish it, right.
We'd have to republish it. I mean, that's one way to try to speed things up. We could try that, but I don't know. I mean, it's going to slow things down.
The sidewalk should happen as soon as we deem the application complete, right? As soon as we vote on whether the application is complete, the sidewalk should happen right after that.
That's what we've been doing, really, pretty much.
Yep.
We've been doing.
We go through the applications complete, we set a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a 20.
We'll try that, Joe.
Yeah,
it'll work.
A preliminary public hearing date at the same time that we set a sidewalk date to see if that is one way to
meet the criteria, but leaving it to middle of the time.
Yeah.
So for our next meeting, I guess we'll discuss administrative procedures, and if anything comes in, we'll put it on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. That Dave belong to the agenda?
Yep.
Yeah.
He did. Invite him in for 7.
What's the date for September?
Next one.
That would be
September.
It would be September 1. Yeah. September 1.
Are we checking in to?
Yeah.
No, September 1st. Yeah, that's not anything.
September 1st?
Okay. And that doesn't interfere with Labor Day or anything. Because
no, it's right after it, I think.
Does anyone know if there's any resolution to be sticking so that the busted trains as to whether or not they were sort of grandfathered in terms of being
they're going in front of the. We got a public hearing or something.
And from what I gathered, because of course multiple people talking simultaneously.
Are we gonna?
But she wanted to piggyback on the prior use, but as this is a new business, a new use. They were looking, if I understand correctly, they wanted her to apply for a separate liquor license. And also there was the situation that came up where she was talking about catering.
Yes.
With a catering liquor license, that means she can go throughout the state, which they were questioning her on that. And she was saying, no, she doesn't plan on catering outside. She just wanted to use her license in-house.
Right.
So the question came up, why don't you just apply for an in-house liquor license? And like I said, it was confusing. That's my summation of it.
So, you know, when last time we left it, we were
getting
four.
Yeah.
Patty to see.
Anything else? I'll make a motion. We close that meeting.
Second.
Any discussion?
Aye. Aye.